Let's pray. Jesus, please open your word to us. Open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. There are certain concepts in mathematics which are so obvious, no one ever tries to prove them. And they are called axioms. For example, it is an axiom that A always equals A. Obvious, right? In the same way, another axiom, if A equals B, then B equals A all the time. Obvious, right? Most teachers do not even talk about these axioms in their math classes because they are so obvious. The teachers usually feel like it's a waste of time to even talk about them. Here I would submit are a couple more axioms, not math axioms, but axioms just the same. What is true is true. Obvious, right? Conversely, what is not true is not true. Obvious. But unfortunately, in our day and age, these two simple axioms are no longer assumed to be true. To many Americans, what is true is not necessarily true, and what a person feels to be true, it is what is true. Strange, isn't it? In the past couple of months, we have reflected upon what is good about our country. For the next 3 weeks, let's talk about a few of our warts, and they are big ones. And remember, I said at the beginning of this series that at some point I will probably step on just about everyone's feet. These next 3-4 weeks might be one of those times. One of our warts, and again, it's a big one, is that we as a nation have turned our backs on objective absolute truth. Said another way, 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4 in our country anymore. So because we need to do so, let's once again state the obvious. What is true is true. What is not true is not true. The Hebrew word for truth, the word that's often translated as true in the Old Testament, can be translated as firm, stable, binding, or valid, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. When it is used in a legal sense, it denotes the actual or authentic facts. The Greek word that's often translated as true in the New Testament, according to the same encyclopedia, refers to the real state of affairs as compared to what sometimes seems to be real. Think of how we use the word true in our own language. If you true a board, you make it straight. Truth is straight, not crooked. When a person relates to us an account of his experience, we sometimes say, "That rang true." And by that we mean it's authentic, not made up. Someone who sticks by us, come what may, we call a true friend. Again, meaning that that person is consistent, not wishy-washy. So put all this together, and what can we say about our English word? That truth is reality. It is what is. Pretty basic stuff, isn't it? And the thing about truth is this, because it is true, it can stand up to inspection. In my reality, I might think I am the world's greatest quarterback, whoever played the game. But that wouldn't stand up to inspection, would it? Put me into an NFL football game for 1 or 2 minutes, and very soon the truth will out itself. Everyone will very quickly find out that my reality is not the true reality. Truth has a way of evidencing itself. Now granted, some truth is hard to discover. When there's conflict and one party is saying this and another party is saying that, and you did not witness the affair, it is sometimes hard to know where the truth is because the signs are saying such different things. But the point is this: lies, falsehoods, false worldviews, false ideologies, they can't stand up to close inspection. The truth can. Why? Because it is the truth. Because it's real. What is true is true. Obvious, right? And yet our country is running pell-mell from this most basic of all axioms. According to a study done by the Summit Ministries in partnership with the polling firm McLaughlin and Associates in October of 2022, 40% of all adult Americans do not believe in an absolute truth. 40%. Among those who are 30 or younger adults, 30 or younger, 55% believe there is no such thing as absolute truth. Sad, isn't it? And you might think that this only really refers to those who don't believe in the Bible, but that's simply not the case either. The Research Center, they did a study called the American Worldview Inventory in 2020, and they were just researching whether or not people believed in an absolute moral truth. Absolute moral truth. And after their study, they concluded, and now I quote, that belief in absolute moral truth, rooted in God's word, is rapidly eroding among every group, within every political segment, whether churched or unchurched, among all the ages. I guess what should be obvious isn't obvious anymore. This is a major failing in our country. It's a big one. It's a festering cancer, it's spreading, and if something isn't done about it, it will kill us. It's that serious. Indeed, consider where such thinking inevitably leads. Consider first the effect upon our nation as a whole. Describing his nation, when they turned their back on the truth, the prophet Isaiah said, "Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice." Because we had begun to turn our back on the truth, verse 14, truth has stumbled in our public squares. And verse 15, if someone truly wants to do right, he makes himself a prey. He paints a target upon his back. In the same way, Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 9:5, "Everyone deceives his neighbor, no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity." Because we as a country have begun to turn our back on the truth, we here in America, and especially those in power, have taught our tongues to speak lies to such an extent that nowadays when a person, but especially those in power, when they're caught in a lie, they do not even apologize. They feel no shame, none. The prophet Amos said this, "They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth." Again, because we have begun to turn our back on the truth, do we Americans not shout each other down? This is what we do. We abhor him who speaks the truth. We shout the person down. We vilify the person. We attack the person. And yes, sometimes we even seek to kill that person. How can people live together in peace and harmony when the truth is forsaken? Peace and harmony are built on trust. Trust is built on the truth. No wonder we as a nation cannot get along anymore. Now consider this, when one is mentally ill, one is often disconnected from reality to one degree or another. Since many in our country do not believe in an absolute reality, an absolute truth, and are thus disconnected to one degree or another from reality, is our nation then becoming, if you will, mentally ill? I mean, really, if we cannot define what a woman is or how many genders there are, what does that say about us? If a person is guilty of a hate crime simply because he does not approve of another person's lifestyle and says so, what does that say about us? If a biological male is allowed to compete against females in a sport and enter into their locker room, what does that say about us as a country? I don't know about you, but in the last decade or two, I don't know how many times my head has spun in circles. And I thought, when I heard something new, I thought, that is just plain nuts. When your head spins in circles enough times, you have to start wondering, are we as a nation just plain nuts? Now consider the effect of this thinking upon individuals. Jesus compared those who rejected truth to people who build their house on sand. He said in Matthew 7, 26 and 27, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, does not heed them, does not listen to them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall." How can any person or nation be mentally stable if they do not have a firm foundation, a true foundation, a real foundation? How can anyone be mentally stable if they do not build their house upon the rock, upon the truth, rather than upon the sand? We as a nation are no longer building our house on the rock. As a result, many people in our society are paying a horrific price, especially the young. There was a study done by the in 2024 and 2025 posted on the Health Affairs Scholar website. According to that study, nearly 10% of adults, 10% of adults in America, and 15% of young adults reported experiencing a mental health crisis the previous year, where a mental health crisis is defined as an acute episode when a person feels unable to function and needs immediate help. 10% of adults, 15% of young adults reported they had such a crisis, a time when they could not function and needed immediate help. I wonder what the statistics would be for teens and children. Add to that the number of people growing up in broken homes, in abusive homes, and all the problems that that creates. Add to that the number of young people who feel lonely and disconnected in our digital world. Add to that the number of people who do not want to work, especially 40 hours a week, because they were never made to do anything hard when they were young, and they don't know how to do hard things. And we could go on and on and on. We could add to that list item after item after item until the cows came home. Because our nation is building its house on sand, a whole lot of people are sinking in that sand. Now consider how God feels about this, about those who purposely reject the truth. Spoiler alert, he's not happy about it. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. Deep down in the heart of everyone alive, deep down in their heart, they know certain things to be true. They know it. They know there is a God, both because of the things that he has created and because of the Spirit who testifies in their heart. Hence, we all know that somehow, some way, because there is a God, we must get right with him. We know these things instinctively. But if we admit these things, then that means we have to do something about it. We have to submit to God. And so many people, some people, as Paul said, suppress the truth. Maybe not consciously, but they suppress this truth that they know deep in their heart. They talk themselves out of believing in God. For those who purposely do this, who build their house on sand, on a lie, Paul says, the wrath of God remains for them. If a person builds his house on a sand, it will eventually collapse. The avant-garde in our society, who call lies truth and truth lies, they think themselves modern and enlightened. The fact is, they have swallowed lies as old as man himself. And unless they repent of their sin and foolishness, they have damned themselves for all eternity in the process. Building a house on sand has serious consequences. And we as a nation are finding that out in a big way. So, what should we do? We who live in this strange day and age when people are building a house on sand, what should we do? That's a question David asked himself in Psalm 11. He said in verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What should the righteous do? If the foundations are being destroyed, as they are in our day and age, what can we do? What should we do? But David answered this question in verse 1 before he even asked it. He said in verse 1, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, to my soul, flee like a bird to the mountains? Don't know who was whispering in his ears, but David said, how can you tell me to flee? And why did he say that? Because the Lord was his refuge. When the foundations are being destroyed, David said, we should not, as we are often tempted to do, we should not disengage from society and hide in the nice comfort of the church. Rather, he suggested we should continue to trust in the Lord, our refuge, who is still in heaven, still in control, and stay engaged. When Christians, who Jesus called the light of the world, totally disengage from society, they take their light with them. Are they then a part of the solution or a part of the problem? Now don't get me wrong, there is a time to flee like a bird to your mountain and hide from the evil in our society. There is a time for that. Jesus suggested as much. He said in Matthew 10:23, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. Flee. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. If you are being persecuted, Jesus said, flee from town to town, to town to town. If you have to flee, it's a common sense type of thing, isn't it? The trick, I guess, is knowing when to stay and be a light and when to flee for one's life. If all we care about is our life, we will probably be quick to flee or disengage from society. If, however, we weep for our Jerusalem as Jesus wept for his, we will linger as long as we can and stay engaged until the end, even should that lead to a cross. Just a little food for thought. Like I always say, no matter our circumstances, no matter how they change, even if the foundations are destroyed, our mission does not change. Said Paul, to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 3-5. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths, wander off into nonsense, into garbage. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul told Timothy that a time would come when 2 + 2 does not equal 4. That a time would come when the foundations would be destroyed. That people would believe what their itching ears wanted to hear rather than the truth. In such a time, what was Timothy supposed to do? What he always did. The mission doesn't change. He was still called to be sober-minded, to stay alert. He was supposed to be willing to take a stand for the truth and endure the heat, or as he said, endure suffering. Timothy was supposed to preach the gospel and point others to the truth. That is, as Paul said, to do the work of an evangelist. And Timothy was supposed to keep on keeping on and not give up. For as Paul said, he was supposed to fulfill his ministry. And this is what we are supposed to do always. Our mission never changes. And that's true even if no one is listening to us, even if everyone ignores us. Judah most emphatically did not listen to the prophet Jeremiah when Jeremiah preached to them. And he preached to them decade after decade after decade. And they threatened his life on a number of occasions. And then when Judah was led into captivity because they did not listen to Jeremiah, Jeremiah went into captivity with them. He was faithful to the end, even as the foundation of his world was being destroyed. But of course, if we love the Lord and continue to act as light in the world, if we keep on proclaiming God's word and pointing people to Christ, who knows? Who knows but that our nation might repent and turn back to Christ, just as Nineveh did in the days of Jonah. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Can we do this? Can we stay engaged and not lose hope? Can we stay engaged and not be driven crazy? Can we stay engaged and not become compromised, as many evangelicals are being compromised today? The answer is yes, most assuredly, but not if we do not cling to Jesus and his word. Jesus said this about himself, as you know, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. Ultimately, what is truth? Jesus. So if we veer from Jesus, we veer from the truth. In the same vein, how important is God's word? What Jesus revealed about himself? When Jesus prayed for the church in John 17, he said in verse 17, he prayed to the Father and said, sanctify them, your people, the church, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So if we veer from the word, we veer from the truth. In most aspects, you and I, we're no different than anybody out there. No different in most aspects. What then sanctifies us or sets us apart, as the word means? What sets us apart from the rest of the world? Merely that we have built our house upon Jesus and his word. That's it. That's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. They build their house on shifting sand, we build it on the rock. And as long as we stay grounded on the rock, we can stay engaged and not lose hope. We can stay engaged and not become compromised. Not because of anything special about us, but simply because we are grounded on Christ and His Word. And yes, it is our job to speak the truth to our fallen society. But remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 10:19 and Mark 13:11. He said, don't be anxious about what to speak, because when the time comes and you need to speak up for me, words will be given to you. And not only that, it's the truth, John 8:32, that sets people free, not our power of persuasion. The truth sets people free, not our clever arguments, the truth. Our job is to proclaim the truth. It is God's job to drive that truth deep into people's hearts. Now let's laugh at ourselves for a moment. Samantha Kolchert's father was in line at an airport at the checkpoint when he noticed a number of National Guard troops in front of him in full uniform. Before going through the detector, of course, they had to take all their metal and put it so it goes through the scanner. This included their handcuffs, flashlights, and M16s. As one of the troopers then went through the detector, it beeped because he had forgotten he had a Swiss Army knife in his pocket. The attendant apologized, felt bad about it, but he seized the Swiss Army knife because it was a prohibited item. So the soldier was not able to take that with him on the flight. Then after the attendant seized the Swiss Army knife, he then handed the soldier his M16. Don't you feel much safer knowing that if that soldier had been a terrorist, he only has M16 and not a Swiss Army knife? I share this story merely to illustrate that we all have our own contradictions. Let's be honest. Nobody's perfect. We all think and say and believe things that, when they're all added together, sometimes just don't make sense. We all do it. But our society has traveled so far down that slope. They have traveled far beyond the oops, we all have our own contradictions. They've traveled much past that. When people no longer believe in absolute truths, we as a country are a mess. When 2 + 2 no longer equals 4, we are a mess. When everything is up for grabs, we are a mess. In weeks past, we looked at some of the things that we as a country have done and are doing well. But in this regard, in regard to the truth, we are a mess. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we as a nation are straying from the truth and turning to lies. We are tearing down a house that was once built upon a rock and are building a new house on shifting sand instead. This is not going well for us, and it will not go well for us. Call us back, Lord. Call us back to the truth. Call us back to you before the house we are building on the sand crumbles altogether. Please, Lord, call us back to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please rise as you are able and join in singing our closing hymn, number 601.
Yeah.
when I was a supervisor at 3M, my first year, actually within the first few months, I said something at one of our gatherings that, wasn't horrible, but I probably shouldn't have said. And I came down to the level of my people. And some of the people in my crew were shocked and disappointed that I came down to their level. And that surprised me. It was a real eye-opener. There are people in this world that will attack us and hate us no matter what. But there's also a lot of people in the world who want to hear us speak the truth and want to see us live out the truth. They want us to be better than they are. May we never get tired of doing good and speaking out for Christ. Lord, use us. We're your children. Use us. A lot of good things about our nation. A lot of good things. But there's also some serious issues we have. Give us the courage to speak out against these issues. In love, may we never be judgmental, ornery, obnoxious. But give us the courage to speak out. And remind us that those who have swallowed the lies are not the enemy. They're just victims like we are. The enemy is the liar himself, Satan. He is the enemy. Revive our nation one more time, Lord, we pray. One more time, revive us. In your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. From him, through him, to him are all things. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen.